It is a real privilege to be sharing the word again, and it feels quite strange because when Rich put the plan together and the preaching program, I just picked a couple of titles that sort of sprung out that didn't, you know, for no particular reason, and the one for today was entitled "Scattered," which is really bizarre, isn't it? Because now we're gathered, and but what I really think is that God wants to teach us something about what that means to be back together and to be gathered for the first time in over a year in one place. I think he wants to remind us of why we gather and to help us not to just step back into how we used to do things, but help us to move forward. I think he wants to encourage us to think differently and creatively about all aspects of our lives, not just looking at the kind of how and when we meet together in person or online, because we're not just going to, I think, get rid of online, because it's really had some benefits in quite a number of the things we do. But I think we need to be continually challenged in what it means to come together as the people of God. And last week, again, I just, I love to read, I love to study. I came across the work of a lady called Priya Parker, and she's written a book called The Art of Gathering, How We Meet and Why It Matters, which I thought, oh, that's really interesting while I'm thinking about this. And she sort of indicates that as a society at this moment in time where we find ourselves, we are collectively having a meeting / gathering makeover. We're all having to think differently about the way we do things. And what she talks about is the need to rethink traditional ways of coming together and to understand how we can inject some meaning and connection into what we do, particularly at this moment as we gather back together again. It's felt a bit strange, hasn't it? It feels like we're in a kind of weird sort of zone, although actually it's been really, really lovely, and it hasn't probably felt as weird as I thought it might. So, but we're going to have to learn over the next few weeks to navigate what this feels like and then whatever comes next, whatever that feels like. And so she talks about this sort of rethinking the way we gather, and she talks about, this is just a quote from her book, and it says, "Gathering well begins with a specific, unique and disputable purpose. When we should gather and why. We often confuse the category of gathering," so things like birthdays, baby showers, weddings, dinner parties, and I've added in there Sunday church and any other gathering, "with the reason we are coming together. When we don't examine the deeper assumptions behind why we gather, we end up replicating the same old party formats." And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And I think we need to be careful that in this next part of the story, and I think we have had that analogy of like we've turned this page, we're moving into the next chapter of our story, is that we don't lose any momentum around our calling to be a scattered people and get trapped back into the old ways of doing things, because we're all back together and we love it and we love the worship and we love to hear the word and we like to be together and that's all about us. But what we have to remember is that God has spoken to us on many occasions about being a scattered people and being outside of the four walls. And we can't just revert back to old structures that are not relevant or appropriate for where we find ourselves right now. And I think, you know, there'll be some things that change. I think, gone are the days of the long from the front preach. Thank goodness, possibly, some of us are saying. You know, the way the word of God's communicated now is very different. And we need to think about what that looks like. It's not just about one person standing here from the front any longer. But I think one of the big things we need to consider is the why we meet and the purpose of meeting, particularly when we're asking people to commit their time and energy to things. Like, how difficult was it this morning to get up and out? It's different this morning. You know, we're asking you to come to a building, to commit your time and your energy into things, and you need to understand what that is about and why you come here and meet. But moreover, I think I am convinced that the purpose of us gathering together as God's people is so we can scatter. So the title of this talk today is Gathered to Scatter. Craig Groeschel, who's an author that some of us are particularly fond of, said in a recent Instagram post, "The church does not exist for us. We are the church and we exist for the world. And I think there are some mini clues in the scripture in Acts 8, which I've have used for kind of the focus of today's talk. And it's really interesting, isn't it, in Acts 8 at the beginning, because it talks about the believers being scattered. But there are a number of things that happen along the way that I think will help us to understand why we gather together and what it looks and feels like potentially to gather together to enable us to go and scatter. So I'm going to read from Acts 8 verses 4 to 8 and then skipping on to verses 25 to 40. And it's from the Message, and it is the well-known encounter of Philip with the Ethiopian. So here we go. So if you've got Bibles, open them up, get them on your phones, do whatever you need to do. So, although the believers were scattered by persecution, they preached the wonderful news of the word of God wherever they went. Philip travelled to a Samaritan city and preached to them the wonderful news of the Anointed One. The crowds were eager to receive Philip's message and were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders he performed. Many demon-possessed people were set free and delivered as evil spirits came out of them with loud screams and shrieks. And many who were lame and paralysed were also healed. This resulted in an uncontainable joy filling the city. After Peter and John had testified and taught the word of God in that city, they returned to Jerusalem, stopping at many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the hope of the gospel. Then the Lord's angel said to Philip, "Now go south from Jerusalem on the desert road to Gaza." He left immediately on his assignment. Along the way, he encountered an Ethiopian who believed in the God of the Jews, who was a minister of finance for Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He was on his way home from worshipping God in Jerusalem. As he rode along in his chariot, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go and walk alongside the chariot." So Philip ran to catch up. As he drew closer, he overheard the man reading from the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. Philip asked him, "Sir, do you understand what you're reading?" The man answered, "How can I possibly make sense of this without somebody explaining it to me?" So he invited Philip onto his chariot to sit with him. The portion from Isaiah he was reading was this: "He was led away from the slaughter like a lamb to be offered. He was like a lamb that is silent before those who sheared him. He never even opened his mouth. In his loneliness, justice was stripped away from him. And who could fully express his struggles? For his life was taken from the earth." The Ethiopian asked Philip, "Please, can you tell me the prophet of whom you're speaking? Is it himself or another man?" Philip started with this passage and shared the wonderful message of Jesus. As they were travelling down the road, the man said, "Look, here's a pool of water. Why don't I get baptised right now?" Philip replied, "If you believe with all of your heart, I baptise you." The man answered, "I believe that Jesus is the Anointed One, the Son of God." The Ethiopian stopped his chariot and they went down into the water and Philip baptised him. When they came up out of the water, Philip was suddenly snatched up by the Spirit of the Lord and instantly carried away to the city of Ashdod, where he reappeared preaching the gospel in that city. The man never saw Philip again. He returned to Ethiopia full of great joy. Philip, however, travelled on to all of the towns of that region, bringing them the good news until he arrived at Caesarea. So it's just a few observations, really, from reading this and thinking about gathering to be scattered. And firstly, so why do we gather? And I think as much as we wanted, as I've said already, to get back here, we mustn't get caught up in the fact we're back and it's lovely and all of the rest of it. Our gatherings are not the be-all and end-all of our Christian walk. It's not just about Sundays and Wednesdays and any other meetings that we might gather in between. It's never solely about us and what we can get from the gathering. It's always about others. We shouldn't go home from any of our gatherings having not gained something of the life of God that we can give out of ourselves. And that might be we do come into a meeting feeling pretty down on ourselves, or we've got some stuff going on, but there should be enough going on in our gathering to fill you with faith so that you have got something that you can give away. And so I think the main purpose of our meetings is that we gather to encourage one another, to equip one another and to empower one another to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the really important parts of this is the part of sharing stories of God's goodness. So he encouraged us to share God's goodness and his faithfulness and his deeds. In Acts 8, it talks about Peter and John after they testified going out again. And I've used a bit of imagination in this because I couldn't quite work out whether they heard like preached somewhere and then ended up back in a gathering, like talking together about what had happened. But testimony and relevant, real now testimony is so important. And we need to all have a testimony of God's goodness, his faithfulness, how he's helped us, so that then we can encourage one another and share. I think it was Ian, actually, in one of the prayer meetings the other, not this one, the one before, or it might have been a Sunday morning, again, we spoke about the importance of being able to hear testimony from one another so that we can build up faith. And that's all about participation, isn't it? It would have been kind of no good this morning if, like, nobody had given thanks. We'd have all just sat here, literally mute behind our masks. We should all have something that can come out of our mouths to share God. And of course, when we come together, the sharing of the word of God, again, is important. We're never going to get rid of that. It just might come across in a different way. But the gathering is about coming together and to hear God's now word, using that to then take it out and do something with it. I think going forward, I'd love to see, and we've talked about this often, our gatherings being a place where we can practice, use, outwork the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is that safe space to do that, and we can do that so we can take it out to others. And when things relax even further, I just, long for the day where we can get back to some laying on of hands and all of that old-fashioned stuff that we haven't been able to do. And I think this is the place where we practice that stuff so that we can take it out. And I think the key to our gathering together is that when our faith is built up, that we do something with it. Faith leading to action. And we need to combine our faith with action and step out. It's not enough to have one without the other. We can do all the good stuff in the world, but if it hasn't got faith, then that's a bit rubbish. And the other way around, if we've got lots of faith but then don't do anything with it, it's equally as poor. It says it in James 2. Verse 14 to 18 in the Message. It talks about, and I'll read from the Message, it says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, 'Good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit,' and walk off without providing so much as a cup of soup or a coat. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? I can hear already one of you agreeing, be saying, 'Sounds good, you take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department.' No, not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works and faith, fit together hand in glove." And secondly, I found it quite interesting that Philip, it says he left immediately on his assignment. So the angel of the Lord said to him, "Now go," and he left immediately and went on his way. What he didn't do, and I think we can be quite guilty of this sometimes, he didn't wait around for all of the I's to be dotted and the T's to be crossed before he went. He heard the voice of God and he went. And he trusted God to fill in the gaps along the way. He didn't need all of the detail. He just knew he'd heard God and was able to do that. And I think we need to grow in our maturity of doing that, is not needing all the little bits and pieces to be in place before we act. We need to be bold and brave and have confidence as to what has been imparted to us here in our corporate gathering, bouncing off each other's stories, and then take that into our individual unique walks of everyday life. It's really interesting, again, in the scripture here, it says, along the way he met the Ethiopian. And a lot of life is like that, isn't it? We have these moments that just sort of happen. I think Richard's called them in the past, it just so happened moments. And it felt like a bit like this with Philip. God told him to go on an assignment. He didn't know that it was to meet an Ethiopian and all the rest of it. But along the way, God gave him a job to do. And I think this is what it's going to be like for us. We'll hear God, will move and the finer details will be filled in as we step out in faith and we listen to him and trust him to fill the gaps. And again, I quite like the bit in the story that the Ethiopian never saw Philip again. And I think sometimes this is how it's going to be with us and the things we do for God. We may never see the full impact of acting, but we just need to be obedient in either the call to go, to act, to pray, to do, whatever it might be. It's not like, if I do that and I can see this happen and all the rest of it. Sometimes we may never see that. And I think importantly for us, and again, I mentioned this sort of briefly on Wednesday night, is that we have to understand that it isn't our responsibility to sort everything out. Some things are best left to God, because he's far more able to sort them. And I refer to Galatians 6 and verse 9, and it says, "So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, God's time," I've added in there, "we will harvest a good crop." But we must remember that actually it is God that is the Lord of the harvest, not us. "If we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith." And again, I thought that was really interesting, actually, because there's some stuff we can practice amongst ourselves in our gatherings that will help us when we're operating outside of our community. But there's two things in the scripture. So our responsibility here is to not quit and to do good. God's responsibility is the harvest and the timing. And I think if we can get those things in balance and if we can practice some things amongst ourselves, we'll be in really good shape. And then thirdly, we've talked often about the Lord building a new tent and things going to be different. And I think we just need to be prepared to be surprised for what God is going to do. And again, as I said, we just can't retreat back into old ways of doing things or become insular because we're back here in this building. We can't as well get too comfortable with life again. I suppose the danger is once things are fully opened up and all the rest of it, we'll just go, well, you know, I'll just do a bit of this for a while. I'll just do a bit of that. Oh, and then I've got my holiday and then I've got this and that. We do need to focus on the important things. And that's not to say those things are wrong, because I'm going to fully take advantage of enjoying everything that is available. But I think we can't let that be the thing that shapes us. And again, I think as a church, we'll be looking at the way we order ourselves and structure ourselves and plan what we're going to do. And we don't know what that looks like at the moment, but we will be listening to the Holy Spirit to help us along the way. And I think what we have to remember is, whilst things we talk about, like not going back, so I often think, right, back before the pandemic, whatever that weird world was, but actually we can't go back to what life was like during the main kind of bit of the pandemic. This is going to be different, and somehow we need to focus our eyes forward to see with spiritual eyes what the world needs, because it's probably going to be very different to what it was in those different seasons. And Christy Wimber said this, and I completely agree with this, and she said, "Sometimes the church is the last to see how culture has shifted. We tend to love a formula rather than risk. But in order to be effective in this next season, we will need to see outside of what is to lead for the now. A no-risk approach can't be an option when it comes to kingdom leadership." And I thought, oh yeah, that's a real challenge, isn't it? We need to see with those eyes how culture has shifted and then apply the eternal truth of God into this new culture and what people need at this moment in time. Some of you may have heard Pete Gregg did a very short word. There was a sort of festival, online festival thing called Wildfires, which is a kind of festival thing run by Holy Trinity Brompton. And Pete Gregg delivered this message this week, and he talked about the churches needing to be at this moment in time from being people that are on the back foot, and at times I have to say over the last year, sometimes it has felt like we have been on the back foot, but now we can move on to the front foot and we need to move forward. And he talked about moving from a place of being faithful, and I think we have over this time, we have been faithful to gathering and all of the things that we've done in the best way we can, and it's been awesome. But now we need to somehow switch that into being a people that are full of faith and able to go out and to share the love of God. And this is what I really think is that our gathering should just be this place of faith where we can take that and take the life of God out and really fully outwork Isaiah 61. And what we just have to be aware of is that God is not afraid or fazed by moving in new ways. He will surprise us. I think Philip was probably pretty surprised to be whipped up by the Spirit and moved on. I think that's going to be one of the questions I ask God. What really did happen there? Because did it just sort of happen like that? But, you know, I'm kind of prepared for God to move in that way that is really surprising and really different. But we need to just get ourselves in that place where we're ready to receive it in that way. And so in conclusion, as we enter this next phase of meeting together and we're seeking God together about what this looks and feels like, I would just encourage you to firstly not be quick to judge what we're doing as a church as to whether it's good or bad or anywhere in between, but just be prepared to go with the flow and adjust and flex. We're all learning how to adapt in this sort of new post-pandemic world, and we'll find what God's got for us together, but we need to be changeable and be able to be shaped and move together, and everybody's voice is important in that, and it is really important, the staying together. And I think the worst thing about this season, the COVID season, is the isolation and disconnection that it has created in so many ways. And whilst we've been able to remain connected digitally, actually sometimes it's felt disconnected because you're not able to meet as you would, and the isolation again, you know, all of the awful things. But it's really important in this next phase that we stay together and connect well. And say number three, stay astonished with your story. Really cultivate your testimony about what's happening now, this week, this minute in time, not some way back in the past, which may be really valid in some situations, don't get me wrong, but the real power is in today's testimony. Like, today God did this for me. That really, really counts. And we can't forget the brief. We are called to go, filled with the Holy Spirit to bring good news, to make disciples and to bring hope. That is the brief that hasn't changed because of the pandemic. If anything, it's even more urgent. There's an urgency. And as we were singing that song, Who You Say I Am, and there's that line in there, free at last. And I think, you know, there's so much talk, isn't there, at the moment about Freedom Day. I thought, oh, that's really interesting, isn't it? So people are waiting for this day that is called Freedom Day because they think something magical has happened and all of a sudden life's going to go back to normal and everything's going to be happy and rosy. And whilst that will be true, and, you know, I long for the day where I don't have to wear a mask in the supermarket and all of that stuff. But is that real freedom? I think, you know, this is our real opportunity to demonstrate to the world what freedom really looks like, and that is freedom in Christ. And for some of you, you might need to, well, probably all of us, we need to do this, is we need to have a real think about what we want this season to look like, not only as a church, but as families, individuals. And I would just sort of recommend having a little look at your world and look at the things that you're going to keep and take with you on the journey that don't need changing. There may be some things that you're going to take with you into this next phase that you'll just need to recycle a little bit and change so they're appropriate. But there are definitely going to be some things that you can bin off and not take forward with you. So just have a think about that. And I think, as you know, we need to do that at all levels. And just lastly, I read this a while back and I can't remember where it was from. I seem to have lost the reference to it. But I think it could be really helpful in helping us to understand what our gatherings, whether that's Sunday, Wednesday, anything in between, are for. And I think our gatherings are for action. And this is the quote. So church, and I've put in brackets here, our gatherings, so thinking about that more broadly, is an intimate, interactive space where everyone participates together, leans in and sees one another and feels with one another and then acts. And then in brackets, I put scatters together. Amen.